Are you good? You starting?
Yes. Thank you.
Lights, camera.
There is a problem with that. But you can try with the internal one.
Oh, no camera.
Oh. I suppose we could try that directly.
Yeah, he's gonna send the camera for him.
Oh, okay. Then we will delay the beginning for just a moment.
The SD card didn't get returned.
Oh.
So what's he going to try then?
Well, it has
some internal memory.
We don't know how much.
He didn't put any.
So here's the point.
I'll try the internal memory.
How about an iPhone?
A battery.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
If we don't have it, during the... I will go home and I can get an iPad or two.
You have to be in the session, I don't know.
Task one, two?
No, but I think we will probably not go for an hour and a half.
Test.
Okay, ready? Good evening. Welcome to the August 11th special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District. I am Rochelle Sherris-Watt, Vice President, acting this evening as Board President due to the absence of Len Welsh, whom we all wish well. I will now do a roll call. Director Cordova?
Here.
Director Gillette?
Here.
Director Toombs?
Here.
All right, we will now begin with public comment. Yes, please.
Senior Concus. I had occasion to be reading the minutes of another city, the town meeting, and noticed that on their closed session, there was not only an announcement of what it was that, you know, the topic, but at least it gave some indication of what was going to be discussed. It referenced a lawsuit or something. And I think we've asked for this in the past, and I'm hoping that there would be some indication so that people who want to attend the meeting will have an idea of what is being discussed. Any comment on that?
Well, we're...
Okay. I mean, if you're referencing today, it does say public employment, title general counsel, so that the Board of Directors will be discussing potential employment for a general counsel. There's not much more I can say. In today's agenda, if that's what you're talking about. In previous agendas, they're pretty explanatory.
May I ask something? Is the confusion that it reads as if the district is hiring a general counsel and not contracting with...
No, I apologize. Perhaps I did not read it correctly. All that I saw was that it was pursuant to General Code, Government Code 54957. And then I looked that up, but it really didn't help me very much. So I do try to prepare. I like to have some indication of what is happening. And the other very quick thing is that I am wondering why I did not receive any notice about the Finance Committee meeting that was held earlier this week. I know that the last one that was held, and I believe it was agendized in April, but there wasn't one that was sent out for the one that occurred on Monday. Was it Monday evening?
It was posted on the website and went out to all those that subscribe to it.
I do subscribe, and generally I receive something that Ben sends out. So I don't know why I didn't get it. I don't know whether the list has been changed.
No, we haven't touched the list.
No.
Yeah. Right. Sorry.
I will look again, but I didn't.
We can review, and tonight we'll give notice of the next two Finance Committee meetings as scheduled.
It would be very helpful. Thank you.
Sure. further comment? Okay, then we will close public comment and retire to our closed session.
Want to put this close to you?
Yeah, okay.
In there, it's on.
She loved that dog, and that was a dog that they had originally sticked on. But because it expresses preference to yellow, they got the next best. Yes.
So when I was a kid, we used to go to Mrs. Murphy all the time during mom's menstruation. And my cousin just died. Her father owned this house. This was giant.
You know,
it had
collars. Were you raised in LA? Were you raised in LA?
Yeah.
Oh, so you know, yeah. Those houses, you went to that chateau, really.
Then we went, after we graduated from college, and I went down and said, you know, I can see my lady. Because this is the house. It used to be a lot bigger, you know?
When you're little, and you're a little bit of some tears. But, you know, my parents were like, But my handprints are in the driveway. I remember calling for the dog door because the real estate agent forgot the key. So they put me through the pet door. And we were in sport. We moved there in 75. Yeah. So, you know, you just she was burning mud pies on the side of the house. Just little things when you're an only child because you don't have a lot to do. But, it's funny, that pool. I remember having to hold my breath the whole way, and you're thinking it was such a long time. I got in as an adult. You know, I just thought, this is crazy. And then we had this beautiful rolling hills, you know, open fence. And now they're all tested. You know, like mansion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. It's funny.
Oh, just, wow.
But everyone I grew up with still. All the singers, all the Catholics,
I guess,
to die in the backyard, and,
So just a moment, I'll get the high sign and we'll begin.
Yes.
This is all my hand. I'll be appearing. All right, are we ready?
Yeah.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Directors, the August meeting, excuse me, 11th meeting of the Board of Directors, the Kensington Police Protection and Community Services District. I am Rochelle Sheriff-Squat, acting as president this evening, as Len Welsh is out ill. We wish him all the best, and I will now take roll call. My levels will go up here. Director Cordova?
Here.
Director Gillette?
Here.
Director Toombs?
Here.
All right, we will begin to report out from our closed session. I have nothing to share this evening from our closed session. So we'll begin with public comments. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the podium and state your name.
My name, can you hear me? Can you hear me? My name is Barbara Steinberg.
A little bit closer to the mic.
Pardon?
A little bit closer.
A little closer.
To the microphone.
Oh, this way?
Yeah.
Is it on?
Okay.
Make sure it's on. Let me turn it off. There you go.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Perfect.
And I was hoping to get a better understanding of the philosophy of the police, Kensington Police Department about traffic stops. On allegation 9 of this investigative report, Mr. Dickerson says, Officer Ramos' actions of leaving the city on a break traveling in the city of Berkeley, subsequently conducting a traffic enforcement stop on a Kensington board member and issuing a traffic citation is contrary to good order and tends to reflect unfavorably upon the department and its members. Well, I couldn't quite make sense of it when I read also that Chief Park's philosophy is that all citizens are equal regardless of elected status and that he does not believe in preferential treatment. So I couldn't put those two together. Could somebody help me?
I apologize, Ms. Steinberg, but public comment is not a question and answer period. So we would happily take your comments and in future we can respond, but we're not going to
did you say
go back and forth.
Did you say you would respond at some
point? We will, yes. If you would care to, we'll take note of your comments and we can either agendize or discuss that with you directly. But unfortunately, this does not allow for us
okay,
to
well, I would like to better understand.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else?
Hey, Stephen Still. Interim Chief Hart, in a letter to Director Cordova, listed under Richmond investigation, allegation number 9, Officer Juan Ramos's action of leaving Kensington on a break, traveling in Berkeley, conducting a traffic stop on a board member, and issuing a citation is contrary to good order and tends to reflect unfavorably upon the department or its members, finding exonerated. That is, the act was justified, lawful, and or proper. The board's release of the actual Richmond report revealed that Investigator Dickerson concluded that the allegation was sustained. That is, there was sufficient evidence to establish that the acts constituted misconduct. This allegation was solely about making the stop under the circumstances, both present and past. Dickerson examined whether sound judgment was used in doing so outside of Kensington while taking a break and getting high-energy drinks and snacks with an off-duty officer when, for months, KPD officers on routine patrol in Kensington had not stopped her regarding the violations, presumably because of an unwritten but well-known directive of the former chief and of an or officer's choice. Even during the first 5 months of Hart's leadership, I might add, Dickerson found that the action was contrary to a written KPD policy based on a standard law enforcement rule. Basically, do nothing that is not good practice and that might reflect unfavorably upon one's department or fellow officers. Hart's decision to disregard Dickerson's conclusion presents two problems. First, he had requested a full, fair, and independent investigation, then changed a finding from sustained to exonerated. Quite a significant difference. Although there were two intermediary neutral findings that might have applied, and he did it without acknowledging in his letter that the finding was his and not that of the independent investigator, seemingly misrepresenting the Richmond report. Second, Hart found that allegation number 5 was sustained, that Sergeant Barrow failed to take appropriate supervisory action to ensure Ramos adhered to department policies and procedures. Now he has ruled that Ramos's stop and sight was justified or proper, or that he did not violate policy, and if he did, it was justified or proper, giving Barrow a legal recourse to have his discipline demotion overturned, because Ramos has now been cleared of all wrongdoing while he was under Barrow's supervision. The most significant finding against Barrow now appears moot, and the only relevant ones involve a ride-along policy that no officer seemed to know about. Officer Ramos's action on October 7th certainly has brought disorder and unfavorably affected Kensington Police, the Kensington Board, and the Kensington community as well.
Leonard Schwartzberg. I had previously put in a state of abatement the appeal that I filed to Mr. Hart's not pursuing the complaint I filed that involved the destruction of criminal evidence of criminal activity by Officer Ramos and a report that was a falsification, a police report that was a falsification that was written by Ramos and approved by Barrow. I put it in abatement because I didn't wish to see those guys punished anymore. I understood that Barrow had been demoted and that Ramos was in trouble, and I was not wishing to pursue further punishment for them. But I am deeply concerned about a violation of law by Mr. Hart in not pursuing the complaint, and primarily in the explanation that he offered to me. And the law that he violated was the law of physics. There were set screws on a timer in my garage that had been entered illegally. The set screws had been tightened. And his explanation was that the set screws loosened themselves, moved all the way over to two of these set screws so that they blocked the functioning of the clock, and then tightened themselves again so tight that I couldn't loosen them with my fingers. But Officer Ramos is a pretty big, strong guy. He was able to loosen them, and did. And there was videotaped evidence of that destruction. And you, sir, gave me an explanation for how that happened that was a law violation, the laws of physics. And I do not think that that is appropriate conduct for a chief of police.
May I
Marilyn Stolen. I'm going to read a letter that was sent to me by Hercules Markoupoulos, a longtime resident. He's in the hospital and is unable to be here, and asked that someone read the letter for him. I'm a respected member of the dental community, having served in Kensington from August 1960 with Harold Baker, DDS, to May 2015. The public has speculated why the Tombs, Gillette, and Welsh Triad withheld their knowledge of Renogate from the public and their newly elected peers, Rochelle Sheriff-Swat and Vanessa Cordova, for almost 9 months. My old friend Tony Lloyd, a board member from 2010 to 2014, confirmed at our lunch at Pachizo's on August 21st, 2015, that the board obtained news of the Reno Barrow illegalities, quote, at the time it happened in May 2014, when Harmon told us, end quote. Tony was on dialysis and moving from Kensington into a home he and his wife had purchased in the Delta. He also told me many outspoken people had been forced out of Kensington. Like others, I have growing concerns around the abuse of authority and a tendency of the KPP-CSD majority trio to spend our tax monies for personal retribution, like lawsuits against residents, not to mention consultants and rich police raises. Now the same trio is exposing us to more legal fees by chasing Ms. Cordova out of office because she is an outspoken critic. On Nextdoor and in board meetings, they are using the same character assassination campaign that felled former directors Cindy Kimball, Mari Metcalf, and Kathy Cosell. The reputations of four women directors have been destroyed under 8 years of this regime. This pattern must stop. Managing Kensington is a serious job, and dedication of the old board is appreciated. However, their repeated retaliation against critics has severely damaged our community. Hopefully, in November, a more informed electorate will replace the old guard with two new directors who will finally stop these cruel and costly tactics designed to chill dissent in Kensington. As the Contra Costa Times editorial opined, the KPP-CSD has been dysfunctional under this eight-year regime. Truly, Hercules D. Markoupoulos, DDS.
Celia Compass. I've been reading the internal affairs investigation as it's written, and something suddenly struck me, and that is the officers who were interviewed and who did not waive their right to have their testimony printed have stated in multiple times that there was no animosity to Director Cordova, that they're not aware of her being targeted or harassed. And generally, there is also some comment that, particularly after Ramos, that he is truthful in what he is saying. So when I looked at the story that's written, it seems that Ramos, who was driving, noticed Director Cordova's car and that it had no front license plate. And that seems to be something that is required in California. He also noticed that it had a registration that was expired. Before he pulled her over, he tried to check through CLETS whether or not her registration had been expired. And he writes here that he was unable to check because there was bad reception that Kensington gets. So it seems to me that what he did was he issued a citation for a vehicle that didn't have a front license plate, and there are many of them in Kensington, including right on Arlington,
within a stone's throw of the public safety building. And last week, I saw that vehicle, no, it was last month, excuse me, I saw that vehicle still there without a front license plate. He also gave the citation, not fully knowing whether or not her registration was expired. It might have been paid the day before. So I wonder why he didn't simply give her a verbal warning. That would have sufficed to let her know that she really had to take care of the front license plate, and that she also should look into whether or not the registration was expired. I know personally that when I see somebody who has something that might in fact cause some embarrassment, I generally tell that person somewhat quietly whether or not this is something I've noticed. If a friend is having coffee with me and there is a speck of food on the face, I would generally tell that person so that the person wouldn't be embarrassed. I also would discreetly tell a gentleman if his trousers weren't zipped, it would be embarrassing for him. I wonder why Ramos issued the ticket knowing that this would cause embarrassment to Director Cordova.
David Bergen, I wanted to follow what Sylvia just said. If you're interested, I have photographs of at least 20 such cars here in town without front license plates. And there were at least four of them not far from the police station. Just so you know, if you'd like those pictures, I can pass them on to you.
John Gaccioni, I'm going to read something. There's been an awful lot of chatter lately about the recently released IA summary of the Berkeley stop investigation. Many citizens have been getting extremely granular with it, expending great quantities of energy, examining things like the definition of unfounded. I suggest citizens should be more concerned with the larger aspect of this stop issue. That is the attempt by the Kensington Police Association, Kensington Police Officers Association, to play a role in the governance of Kensington. In addition, the KPP-CSD board majority's apparent acquiescence to this agreement. Both Officer Barrow and Officer Ramos are active in the KPOA. Officer Barrow is the president, and Officer Ramos has been the past vice president. As per the IA summary, the KPOA withdrew its support of Director Cordova because they did not agree with her political positions and did not think she supported the police department. And according to the IA summary, both Officer Barrow and Officer Ramos also appear to have some private personal issues with the director as well. Despite the many attempts by the KPP-CSD board majority supporters to portray the Berkeley stop as just another routine random traffic stop, it clearly is much more than just that. The political dimensions of the stop are inescapable. It is saying we are tracking you and can stop you at any time. Keep in mind, Officer Barrow has somewhat of a checkered history when it comes to law enforcement. His disgraceful antics in the Reno scandal brought dishonor to the Kensington Police Department and shame to Kensington. Worse yet, the KPP-CSD board majority members chose to withhold information about the Reno scandal from the citizens of Kensington and the two recent elected board members. And speaking of IA reports, has anyone seen the report about the Reno debacle? A pattern emerges with these and many other questionable random incidents. They seem to involve some of the same people, Officer Barrow and Officer Ramos, for example. The pattern also illustrates a very selective application of law enforcement as well. Aided by compliant KPP CSD board members, the incident details are frequently kept hidden or obscured. Hiding details can be done by limiting the scope of an IA report or even by not keeping records at all. Another method is to bury the incident details in a personnel file so they can't be viewed by the public. This is usually accompanied by attempts to shift the responsibility for the wrongdoing away from the bad actors involved and onto other more politically expedient individuals. Does this sound familiar to anyone? Strangely enough, the hardball tactics used by the Kensington Police Officers Association are helping to make a stronger case for contracting out for police services. So the question then is, how does Kensington go about stopping this pattern of interference and establishing accountability within the KPP CSD board and police department? The upcoming board elections give Kensington an opportunity to provide an answer to this question. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes public comment. We'll now move to board comments. Director Cordova, do you have any comments?
Yeah, just a brief comment that in September, I will not be physically present, but will be participating by phone. I have a very important business trip that has been on the books for 7 months, and I'm thrilled about it, and I'm going to go ahead and make sure it happens. So,
and Director
Gillette?
No,
not in the comments.
Director
Dukes? I have a few comments, actually. First off, we had a finance committee meeting on Tuesday night, and it was very informative for all of us who were there. Rob Furman did a new type of computer modeling to help us with 5-year projections, going beyond very static arrays of numbers into probabilities of what ifs for each type of incident. What if the economy tanks? What if PERS doesn't make its required 7.5%? So it was a very informative thing, and he's going to come back to the board with a discussion on that and ask that the board permit the finance committee and him to have the next year to work with this model to see how it compares with reality over the course of the year and to get people used to working with it. So we're very optimistic about that. The second thing was we were going to have a vote on an actuary, but in response to an absent member, Jim Watt, decided that we would get a few more quotes on pricing and then bring it back to the finance committee and then back to the board for a decision. Two meetings are coming up. August 31st, we're going to have a finance committee meeting for the budget review, and September 21st, another finance committee meeting as we move forward with our issues. The second issue I had asked about was regarding a summary of legal fees by subject to see what is out there. And I have placed that request both with Mr. Hart and with our lawyers because I want the people in the community to see what we're spending our money on and where the source of the costs are. The legal fees are truly expensive, but I think, as I was saying to some friends, we don't control when people decide to sue us. The third issue was we had a KPOA grievance on a policy of standardizing gun issuance, It was held about a week and a half ago, and the grievance was from the KPOA appealing the decision by the chief to implement new mandatory standards, and the grievance was denied by all five board members. And the fourth question, the fourth thing is really an issue and a question. I don't know how much COPS grant money we got for 2015-2016. Does anybody have that number? And we don't have to answer it now, but I'd like to find it out.
$115,000.
Boom. Thank you.
Michelle, I actually do have something.
Oh, please go.
So I should probably report on a really enjoyable experience I had a couple of weekends ago. Trish Mandel has a group of women, young women, and parents who are coming together to talk about issues relating to girls and their mothers and women in the community. And so I had the privilege of attending that and speaking at it. It was hosted by Vita Doro at her house. We had about maybe 15 people there, including a young woman who was maybe 12 years old, adorable. And we had a really interesting discussion. Simon, your wife was there as well. And we had a really nice, interesting discussion about issues facing women, how women's conduct might influence the way their girls behave in the future, and just a really pleasant interchange with neighbors, some of whom knew each other and some of whom didn't. So kudos to Tricia for bringing that group together, to Vita for hosting it, and to the people who attended. It was great fun, so many thanks for that. And people should, if you have women in the community or young girls who'd be interested, the young woman who attended was just so confident and so willing to share her own thoughts and stories about what it was like to be a young woman and the challenges that she's facing and the wonderful things that she's endured or experienced. So it was really a very, very wonderful experience. So many, many thanks to the people who were involved in making that happen.
All right. The Park Buildings Committee has issued a request for proposal, which is viewable on our website. We're seeking an architectural firm to provide drawings for seismic and ADA upgrades to this board, to this building, not this board, to this building. I've currently provided. Sorry, I've taken one firm on a walkthrough. I think I have three scheduled for next week, but that is available, viewable on our website, or a physical hard copy is available either at the Public Safety Building or at the Kensington Library. If you have interested or know of architecture firms, please have them email me. The Park Buildings will be having a meeting towards the end of this month, or the beginning of next, but we have not established a date yet. I understand Park Buildings or Park Grounds is having a meeting, and I'm sorry, I don't know the date. I saw the...
Tomorrow.
What?
Tomorrow, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Is it here?
Yes.
Here. So if you'd like to attend that.
Room 3.
Oh, room 3. All right. I'm sure you can find it. The ad hoc committee will be having meetings. Their regular monthly meeting will be Thursday, September 1st. They will be having a special meeting on September the 15th. And then their gala presentation on Saturday, October 1st, 10 a.m. The other two meetings are in the evening. Do you begin at 6? Seven. All will take place here in the community center. That concludes my comments. Staff comments?
We do have a few staff comments, although both are two of the directors must have seen my notes as well. We talked about the finance committee. We talked about the board having a special meeting relative to the grievance that was filed. So all that is great stuff. So thank you for putting that on. The only other item that I would have, I know that Walter has some, would be is that I've had another contractor out here for purposes of the video and the audio. And as everyone remembers, the audio was kind of transgressed into a video and audio system that we can utilize both for board meetings as well as public functions as well. This vendor was you know, very highly skilled and qualified and knowledgeable, and there are three different, there's a sound technician, and it was very interesting to watch them talk about this room, this building, and so forth. The only thing I would say is that we are getting close, I think, to finalizing to get this done. Very impressed with the last vendor. It is a little more money than what we want to spend. However, the way that they've designed it, it should fit a lot of different needs. It is my desire to have, potentially with this new system, live streaming video of board meetings. And what that means is that you do not necessarily have to be here, but it will be live streamed to the website. And then from the website, you can watch it in your living room, in your PJs, I suppose.
On TV.
So that's, I think, is interesting to potentially have as an option for the community as well.
Mr. General Manager, I'm sorry, I failed to mention that we've met a few weeks ago to discuss the website. Could you give us a quick update on that?
The only thing I can say at this point is we've met.
We met.
We met with one potential vendor. We're looking at a couple other vendors as well to try to redo the website, for lack of better words, or update it. The board of directors did put in the budget this year for enough money, I think, that we can update it and make it a little more user-friendly, all right, for the community, kind of change the feel to look for it, and I'm very hopeful that that will progress as well.
It's more than aesthetics, just to be able to find a board agenda is not very easy, even for me, so.
Absolutely. I mean, well, City Caucus had a conversation right before the meeting, it's just very difficult, and just it's a clumsy kind of a website, and we're going to fix that.
Great.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Okay, I wanted to address the profit and loss statement that is in your consent calendar. I made an error on legal fees. I indicated that those were the legal fees through June of the prior fiscal year. In fact, they were through May. Another $24,000 was billed for the period through June. Those two amounts will be adjusted to the prior fiscal year when Debbie makes those adjustments.
What is the number then?
So the amount that shows in the P&L that you have
is
$103,000, and the amount for the period ending June is about $24,000.
That concludes staff reports.
All right, thank you. All right, we're first going to look at item C on the old business. Well, what I wanted to do was, in case anyone was here for that item, we've been asked to continue that or both by Board President Len Welch because it's of special interest to him. So if anyone would like to speak on it.
Which item is it?
That would be, the board will review and discuss possibly changing the order and manner in which it takes public comment for items not on the agenda. And we can take comment on it before.
That's okay, I'll wait.
All right. Sounds like you've got enough. I apologize for, I had a sneaking suspicion, Mr. Crossman. So would anyone like to make a motion that we continue that?
I'll move that we continue to the next meeting.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? All right, it passes. All right, we will now move on to the consent calendar. Would anyone like to pull any items from the consent calendar?
I'd like to pull item C and F.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what's it for?
Item C is the unaudited.
Thank you.
Sorry. I'd like to pull item C, unaudited profit and loss budget performance report for June. And item F, KPD monthly statistics for June 2016.
All right, and I would like to pull item H and J.
I had F also.
All right. Shall we begin comments about item C? Unless there's any other items that the public would like to, additional items you'd like to pull?
All right, we shall begin with item C, which begins on page 25 of the agenda.
I just wanted to comment on the legal fees here. For one, item 830, which is now apparently $128,000 through, now is this for the end of the year through June 30th, or is this just the July payments?
This reflects the July payment that took us through the end of May 2015, so the next month, P&L will reflect the payment that was just made of $24,000. So it was through the end of June.
Do we actually have a number for legal fees through the end of June 30th, 2016?
We can provide that to you after the meeting once I have a chance to check. I don't have it with me tonight.
I actually wanted to raise it for the public to hear that number. Again, that's why I'm so concerned about breaking out the cost of these legal fees, so people can see what we're having to spend money on. But that's, we can wait that until the next meeting.
BLG is working on trying to provide that for us.
But strictly from a profit loss viewpoint, I mean, I don't think this number should be here, because this is actually a new fiscal year. And unfortunately, we don't know that number yet. But it's, I mean, we paid it, but it's in arrears. I mean, we're paying it from the past.
And in fact, what will happen in the next budget is Debbie Russell will make the adjustments and push this $103,000 back into last year. And on the next budget, you'll see a zero or whatever the legal fees are for the month of July.
Yeah, and so that's quite confusing.
It's very confusing, because are we a cash method taxpayer or an accrual method taxpayer? If we were an accrual method taxpayer, all of these bills would have been pushed into last year. But because we're a hybrid until at least through the end of August, when they true up all the numbers, these numbers pop up here, because that's what we paid in July. It's not necessarily budgeted for this coming fiscal year. It's what we paid last year for last year's legal work. And it's an imperfect world. So I try to some sense of that. The other thing I wanted to ask about was the Kensington Park O&M here. It shows $16,188 with a budget of $5,775, and I was curious what the disparity was. I didn't see a footnote for that.
What item number?
672.
Thank you. 672?
Page 28 on the agenda, or 4 of 6.
I believe that's for tree work.
Some of it is, yeah.
Some of it is for tree work.
And the backboard.
And the tennis court backboard. And so those things that were finished before June 30th will be adjusted because of the accrual accounting issue into the prior fiscal year. So you'll see a lot of these numbers adjust downward when Debbie has finished her adjustments.
Could I ask a quick question? I'm presuming then that that's what is happening with item 560, with the crossing guard, that it's just a leftover from the last fiscal year. It's just $180.50.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep,
they know. One more question, and I'll yield the floor. Compensated overtime, I'm sorry, account 506 overtime. We show overtime of 6270. Are we still catching up on, why is the overtime there? Is everybody back at work, or we still have some officers on live duty, or what?
We still have two officers on light duty for another week, and another one for another month. And then they'll be on 48-50 time. And then we have another officer off on at the
week. Okay. Thank you.
But that didn't begin in July.
I think some of that is probably carried over.
The latter. Okay. Are there any other questions or concerns, comments from the public on item C?
I have one question. What is the expense incurred with community policing? It's a 594.
So that would be things like National Night Out. The website is charged against that account.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, you have a comment?
You just mentioned that there was an officer on administrative leave.
Yes.
Could you tell us anything about that?
No. That's all right.
All right, we'll move on to item F, which begins on page 33 of the agenda.
I wanted to congratulate Sergeant Hull here for an outstanding month. You hit a home run. Traffic stops were 28 and moving citations were 25. Officer Foley, traffic stops were 48, moving citations were 21. I know I'm flogging a dead horse on this, but I really think that the best way to influence traffic behavior is to issue tickets for the scofflaws dare violate our laws. So my congratulations to Master Sergeant Ho and to Officer Foley for a good month.
Just for, as your chief, I would tell you, it's not about the traffic citations in and of itself. As you know, it's about changing the behavior. All right, trying to improve the speed of vehicles, trying to improve traffic safety, and trying to improve the pedestrian safety right now within the district.
And just to add a footnote, I was just stopped in Orinda coming back from swimming for running a stop sign, which I didn't do, by the way. Well, I did, sort of. And they gave me a warning, and I'm telling you, I have been so careful ever since then. So I don't think it's always about giving a citation either.
Can I go ahead and... Oh, you didn't interrupt me. That's okay. We're still on F, page 33.
Yes.
I'm wondering if the general manager could give us an update on this, what seems to be a rash of home burglaries. Having had a home burglary myself in Kensington, it just stinks.
So within the last couple of weeks, we have had three burglaries, two of which we believe are connected by the same suspect. Within the last 2 weeks, we've also exercised conducted two search warrants, of which I was involved. And we have arrested two of the suspects, two out of three suspects that we believe that are responsible for. So investigation is continuing, but we have two suspects in custody out of the three. The third one, probably next week, I'll authorize the release of his photograph. Administrative or investigative wise, you try to identify the suspect before you push to the press. The press is always so eager to push this out and try to identify the individual. This individual is an adult that we're looking for. The other two juveniles that we have identified through course of investigation have been arrested and have been identified. So we're trying to link the third one to it, and there may have been more activity involved in that as well, but that's about all I can say at this point. So the unfortunate aspect is that we have two in custody out of the three.
Okay, thank you for that. Director Toons, you had a question?
Are they residents?
No, they have friends in town. The search warrants, I can tell you certain things, the search warrants were served one in Oakland and one in Berkeley.
Never mind. It's not my business, I guess. They were connected to other burglaries in those cities, but that's okay.
They were connected to the two out of the three burglaries. We believe we've connected them to two out of the three burglaries that we have had in Kensington in the last 2 weeks.
Okay. Director Toombs addressed the issue of light duty status for two officers. I looked at the statistics also, and I have a question. Depending on who's on duty, what determines if officers are two to a car or they drive alone? because I'm asking, it would seem that during the evening hours that you would have more coverage with two officers on duty in separate vehicles, but I'm wondering what informs that.
Kensington does not have the luxury, as other departments do, to team up and ride two in a patrol car. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen from time to time, but most of the time we only have single car patrols.
All right, if you have public comment, you're welcome to ask the question.
My name is Andrew Gutierrez. East Bay Mud has been digging up the Arlington now for quite some time. And once they repave it, all of the signage on the road disappears. And the behavior is that they think it's a freeway. So as quickly as possible, we need to get the 25 signs back on the pavement on this area. And while you're at it, at the intersection of Arlington and Cowper on the road, there is a bump. And every time that something breaks up above, the house directly across from Cowper gets flooded. Four times now. East Bay Mud seems to be content with just paying to fix it. And the county is deaf to any complaints. So that would be an important issue that might be addressed, that they level it such that there's proper drainage at that particular site. So signage and that drainage. Thank you.
Anyone comment on item F? Okay, we'll continue on to item H. This is my item. I apologize. I feel normally I would like to just send an email first, but I think I need to address it. Our correspondence section of the packet this month is so chaotic. It's unacceptable to me. We have what should be a total of four emails that appear 10 times in the packet. Ms. Neergard's email appears, the same email, on page 40 and 48. Ms. Stein's email appears on 45 and 60. Ms. Lingenfelter's appears on 44, 59, and 63. And Ms. Ellsbury's appears on 45, 60, and 61. It seems that there's a half letter from Ms. Lipscomb on page 53. Perhaps that's an interpretation that's incorrect. But then there's another letter that is a resubmission of a letter that appeared in our July packet. So I think in future, I'm not going to ask for any changes, but in future, an email, even if it's included as a foreword, I mean, each email, each comment should be included once. So, any further questions or concerns? Okay, then I would move on to item J. Page 64 is the monthly calendar, and my only note is just that September will be school back, be back in session, and anyone looking at the monthly calendar just is reminded that there'll be certain events and activities in the building that are not listed just because I think they went away for the summer, but they'll be back in the fall.
And can I interrupt you just a moment? We'll have increased patrol during the first week of school.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, Rochelle, thank you.
No, that's fine. That concludes our discussion of the consent calendar. Would anyone like to make a motion that we accept the consent calendar?
I move we accept the consent calendar.
Is there a second? I shall second it.
Okay.
Go ahead. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Or abstentions? All right. We've passed the consent calendar. We will move on to the everybody stretch and look. We're moving on to item 7, old business. We'll first have an update from the ad hoc committee chair, Mr. Staff.
Thank you, Director Sheriff-Swart. Dave Spath, Ad Hoc Committee Chair. Director Sheriff-Swart has already indicated that we have three important meetings coming up. September 1st, where we will be discussing the second draft, a revised draft of our final report, the 15th of September, at which time we will be taking public comment. It's a special meeting for the public to provide additional comments, and we will consider approving the report at that time, assuming that all comments are addressed. And then finally, on October 1st, which is a Saturday at 10 o'clock, we will be submitting the final report to the board, and that will be a public meeting as well. So we have made available the draft report on August 4th. We've had a number of comments from the public, some rather extensive, which we are attempting to address now. So tomorrow we should have a revised report. That will go to the editor. On the 16th, we've engaged a professional editor, which we sorely will need, given the styles of writing from 10 different individuals. And so that editor will take it on the 16th. We will discuss with her on the 18th any questions, and then she will get back to us on August 23rd with a revision, and that will lead us up to the September 1st date. And as part of the agenda for the September 1st date, the revised draft final report, that is, will be available to the public. And between September 1st and the 15th public meeting, we will again disseminate the draft final report after it has been again edited by the editor. And that report will go out on September 6th. It'll be up on our webpage on that date. So I urge everyone to sequentially follow the drafting of the report. But most important, look at that September 6th draft and bring your comments, or send them to me earlier, or bring them on the 15th of September at our special public meeting. And that will be an evening meeting, as Director Sheriff-Swart has indicated. So with that, I urge everybody to continue to engage. And I have to say, on our August 4th meeting, we had a pretty good attendance relative to other meetings we've had. So with that, if there are any questions, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, now on to item B. We're going to receive an update from the general manager regarding the possibility of new signage to increase driver awareness. This appears in page 67 of the packet.
Thank you, Director. So last month, I presented the review of the zero tolerance policy for public safety and driving safety in Kensington. There were a number of items that we had discussed and I proposed. One of which of those items was to discuss and have signs at all the entrances to Kensington. And there was a lot of discussion as to what that sign would say, all right, trying to make it brief and concise and to the point. So in your packet, you have a number of different variations of signs, and I put it up for discussion. The purpose of this is to ensure that those individuals that that enter into Kensington, either as residents and or as visitors to Kensington, come into Kensington, all right, and do their business, whatever they would like to do, preferably lawful business. And I say that just for the bad people out there that may want to enter Kensington and take advantage. But come into Kensington, but be aware of the fact that the police department maintains public safety and driving safety very seriously, and have a sign that is of regulatory size. All right, it's readable, but has verbiage on there that is succinct and to the point. So we've offered, a number of different options that we can play around with before we finalize the sign. My preference is that we come to some kind of consensus tonight so that I can order the sign and have it posted. I will tell you, I do prefer traffic, you know, the enforcement aspect of maximum enforcement and not maximum compliance. That's just me being a police officer. So anyway, I push it back out to the community as well as the board for discussion.
Okay. I think we should entertain any general comment or anything that that the board or the community would like to make, but I also would like to have this decision done tonight. So being a fan of March Madness, I can go with a bracket. So I'm wondering if we can, possibility of doing comparisons till we find something that we like. So if before we do that, go ahead and see, what's the size of the sign gonna be?
I believe it's 16 and a half by 32. There's a specific sign in the vehicle code that it recommends, and I apologize for not having it with me. The sign that I had last time on display was the exact same size. So it's a regulatory sign that's required in the vehicle code.
For the sake of ease, can we refer to these by the page number?
We shall.
Okay.
So I would, unless...
I never understand brackets again.
Okay, so let's begin with page 68 and 69. And which I'm happy to hold up. Page 68 reads, "Welcome to Kensington, a maximum enforcement community. Please drive safely." And 69 is, "Kensington Police ensures maximum traffic enforcement. Please drive safely."
I didn't mean to read either of those with a preference, so don't think I have one.
So is there one of those that we like better than the other?
Pardon?
I voted for one. Okay, you like A better than, or 68?
68.
I
read 68 first.
Yeah.
Can we make general comment?
Of course you may. You're welcome to make general public comment. I'm going to try to stifle. Please do. Yeah, so we should go for recording.
If I can make some suggestions, I John Caccioni, by the way. I don't think it's really a factor of the sign background. I think what's important is the cap height of the letter for legibility. Second thing is, to my way of thinking, it's too verbose, much better off, less words. The other thing, if you notice like a speed limit, just as speed limit 25, real easy, real fast read. These all require someone, there's about three events that have to happen. A motorist has to see the sign, he has to recognize the pattern, and then he has to take in the information. So that is a lot of activity going on, especially when it is a non-standard sign. People read speed limits because they read the pattern. They know what it is. This is unique, so it's going to require more time on the person who's looking at it to actually read it, let it sink in, and then comprehend what it is. Second thing is, if you're going to go with that much verbiage, pardon me, you might think about using upper and lower case. That way it is easier to read all the text. With all the block letters, it all runs together and you can't read it. Third thing I would say, just personally, as soon as you start to quantify things like maximum, or that assumes you might at some point want to do a lighter one, like minimum, but as soon as you say maximum, you're setting up some kind of a scale. And so that would imply, well, maybe there's going to be an ultra maximum or something. You just have to be careful with that when you state something like that. The other thing I would say is, there's a disconnect between "Welcome to Kensington" and then jumping into the maximum law enforcement. That's equivalent to this. There's two different messages you're sending, and one negates the other in a way. If we're welcoming people to Kensington, it might be better to say something like, please observe the speed limits or something like that. It's just a mix of messages. Thank you.
Can I jump in real quick? Actually, John, you made some very good points, and I really appreciate it. I was going to ask you in advance what you thought. But there's too much stuff going on here, and you raised a good point about the double meaning with the fist and the velvet glove, if you will. And I think I was looking at this, and the notion of something really simple, maybe the police badge that says, please drive safely.
That's
or please comply.
Or else.
You know, you've seen those signs already.
But the point is, less the better, and something that people can see that leaves a strong visual image right away. We don't have enough room on the board to put all this stuff on there. They're all good thoughts. I do agree with you that you can't say welcome and then say we're going to arrest you. The same voice. That doesn't make sense. But I do think that you can put the police badge and you can say, please drive safely, law strictly enforced, or something like that.
It would also be easy to do a test one. It's just vinyl. So you can run out a couple of test ones and try it. The other thing is, you'd probably have to repeat the sign because just one up in one of the entries is going to get lost, and you may have to reinforce it somewhere else in the same direction. But my comments.
Thank you.
I would like to ask you a question, Chief John, since you told us before that you do this at least at the San Francisco International Airport.
Yes.
You said, I'm wondering about the logo, because I noted the different size logos on, is there a feeling about how those read?
It's a territorial thing. The police departments like to mark their things. I understand that.
Well, have a really great logo.
Yeah, the logo, but nobody knows what it is. And you're taking up valuable real estate with that mark. That's something else, that's another unknown to people who are not familiar with that, that they have to decipher. So I understand you're marking something, and that's good on equipment and all the facilities, but for this particular sign, it's just another thing for someone to look at.
Okay.
If we really want people to read the sign and take the information, we want them to slow down. We want them to observe the traffic laws.
So one of the signs that works really effectively, John, while you're there, I'd like to use your expertise, is the one that says, drive like your kids live here.
Pardon?
Drive like your kids live here. You know
I've
that sign?
One, yes.
Although sometimes it looks like drive like your kids if you don't see the whole sign, which is probably not a good thing. But that has a lot of verbiage on it, and yet I think it's effective. I agree with you. I'm not sure of the language that's used here or the way it's laid out. But is there any value to some kind of a snappy statement other than being short? Like committed to safety or something, would that be?
Well, a familiar one is a pattern, and people don't read it, they see the pattern.
Ah.
So they don't even read it. They know, like
they
a
just
speed
know
limit.
That's it. That's right.
They recognize it, they're not even reading it anymore. They just see it, they know what it is. So that's the problem with something unique.
Because then they have to read it.
You have to read it.
Yeah. Is the possibility that you do a sign first that says, let's say, welcome to Kensington, please drive safely, and you expose drivers to it for a while, and then you're allowed to you change the verbiage, but then people have already sort of processed, so that we move into, you know, traffic enforcement verbiage later. I know it's an additional expense, but I mean, I'm probably not making myself clear. You expose people to a sign, and then you could change the verbiage in the future.
Well, that could be the sequential sign. You have one, welcome, and then a second one that says something about enforcing the speed limit or
something. Is that the Verbashave principle? Is that, we could do those, I think you could all come up with verbal shapes.
Yes, all the way down the aisle.
Yeah. Franciscan. I'm doing a Franciscan.
So I wonder if it would be helpful to have you consult with the chief and maybe add anyone else who might be interested and come up with some ideas. Since you're an expert.
I would volunteer to help if that would help the chief.
I think that's a great idea.
Could we perhaps come to some consensus so that we've given direction tonight about what we like best?
I think these might, I'd like to see either something snappy like kids play here, please slow down, or some kind of iconography that looks like slow down visually.
Like slow down or else, I think would be really effective. Yeah.
This is how I do it, you know. But
although I have to say personally, I do like the logo because I think
it
introduces. It's a signature to me, and it's a. I don't know if we need to repeat Kensington Police Department and then the logo. I'm not sure if that is necessary one or the other. But I like the logo because then we use it. If we use it other places around the community, it's identified. We're starting to get people identified with that.
I'm not sold to any of these individually. We took the concept from, I believe, Emeryville and El Cerrito that had signs that were similar in nature to this degree. At the same time, I do support the fact and would certainly want Kensington Police to be on there because it gives a little bit of authority aspect. It's not for marking territory, it is for identification purposes, all right? And it has some authority relative to the maximum enforcement. I prefer the maximum enforcement primarily because this community has made it loud and clear, both to the board and to me, that that's very important about maximum enforcement for traffic safety laws, which is why I like that. And we had the discussion about that it ties right into maximum enforcement that CHP has and for potential grant purposes. So, you know, I had one that was maximum enforcement, you've been warned. And my staff said that was not the best one. But so, I think we could. The only thing I would ask is that we could, and I have no problem with going back to drawing board, but we could, you know, drill this thing to death, all right? And if we just put maximum enforcement, you know, drive safety, I don't care. It's the message I want to try to get across. If there's verbiage and too many words, I agree, which is why we have different variations. So, you know, I would like to kind of move on the project sooner rather than later and come back to the board again. So I'd like, at a minimum, to give you some kind of latitude to get it done, right? Because if we weren't spit this thing to death, we'll always go back again and again.
I'm comfortable casually assigning a board member to work in this duo here. I think we're all on the same page, and I'm willing to let someone sort of approve it on our behalf. Just to get the ball, would that help you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Could I ask what the costs of the signs are? Because John's in environmental graphics, if that's what this is. And there are temporary signs that can look very permanent, but they're also the permanent signs. So what's the cost of the permanent signs? And if you put up a permanent sign and then it doesn't work and people are complaining they can't read it or they don't get it or they go through it, then you have to redo it. So costs should be a factor. In this.
I'm sorry, Kirk.
I was just going to say, John, you mentioned that you can use plastic signs as kind of test models.
Well, they're vinyl, reflective vinyl, the face. It's a metal panel with a reflective vinyl applique.
So the applique can be taken off?
You know, or you can cover over it. You put another applique over the top.
So the only cost is the hard metal sign and the face message.
The cost is the material and the installation, basically.
Thank you.
Mr. Storr, how about being really blunt and say Kensington tickets violators? Easy to read.
Mr.
Rapid?
Yeah, I was just going to piggyback on what you were saying. I was just wondering
if you could go to the microphone.
Yes,
yes. You'll never get picked up. Yeah, then you got it there. Sure.
So
I'm a Brothman. I was just wondering, piggybacking on some of the things that you said and the questions that were asked, are there any studies out there that talk about effective signage in traffic situations? And so rather than go around and around with people's ideas, let's see if there's been any studies and they've come up with more effective signs.
Or any stock signs?
Yeah.
You know, turnkey?
Yeah.
Well, I think General Manager Hart's done a fair amount of research on that, and looking at Emeryville and other signs. And because Mr. Gaccioni, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
I apologize. That he does this professionally, yeah. So I think we were, you know, if he's willing to work with a board director, and I would be happy to volunteer someone. But if someone wants to volunteer themselves, that would be. To work, to come up with signage, I would be very pleased to do this.
Unless someone else wants to do it, I'm happy to do it as someone who wants to deal with the public lot. Unless you want to do
it.
Pat, you, John, and the chief together, thank you all for serving.
Yeah, needs a woman's touch.
Yes, I think that would be, that would be wonderful, and then we can move forward and you know, happy to see you soon.
Is it possible, perhaps, that you're going to mock up of one of the signs?
Sure.
A life-size mock-up to scale?
Yeah, you can do it full-size, paper print. You know, easy.
That'd be terrific. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All right, that concludes the August meeting. We have no new business. Our next. Oh.
I'm sorry, I just didn't want to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to thank David Staff again. For being my video technician, trying diligently to get him relieved, having a full-fledged system here that is a plug and play, and it'll be something that will not impact any potential construction that we have in the building, as well as be something that can be easily put together and easily trained for all the cables that we have. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you.
All right, our next regular meeting is scheduled for September 8th, Thursday, September 8th, of course, at 7:30 p.m. Parking may be difficult.
We
continued that item due to the fact that Board President Welch would like to be here when it's discussed. And I apologize, we did that before the approval of the consent.
I have my hearing.
I'm sorry. Thank you for staying. That was who you're here for that item. September 8th, parking may be difficult. Just so you know, that is the evening of Hilltop's open house. So any items for the agenda are due a week before. So if you have anything you would like to add or have for consideration. Thank you for attending. So someone make a motion.
I move we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No. Oh.
I've been volunteering.
Yes.
Confirm the we'll try some layouts.
Yeah. I appreciate that, and I like the signs. I always comment on the signs as a coach because I think, how would I feel if I were a visitor coming here? Can I follow the signs? They're very good. I fly a lot, so I measure that every year.
Road light signs are the hardest. Yeah. The first job I did, because there's no, not enough time for road signs.
Yeah.
And you have,
when you're going to that way, going into San Francisco, yeah, that's really
good.
Would you fix that?
There's an existing character.
Yeah.